Sairam, we'll start with our next program, which is experience sharing amongst the devotees. This time I'd like to call upon Jeff Lucas. He's our regional devotional coordinator to introduce the program. Please welcome Jeff Lucas. Sairam.
Sairam again. Hope you enjoyed that last program. Now for another program. It's sharing of Sai experiences. And it's something that is very dear to my heart as far as part of Sai retreats. And I requested that we do it again this year. It's been quite some time. Listening to the stories of God is the first step on the ninefold path that Swami talks of for devotion. So tonight we're going to extend the rest of the day listening to the leelas of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba in the lives of the devotees in our region here. And hope you enjoy it, inspires you. And it's always great for us to hear all these stories so that we can be uplifted and inspired in all our efforts on the path. So a number of people have come forward who I requested, or when I put the request out to the region, there are about 8 devotees. I'm just wondering, there was one lady from Iowa who said she was going to speak tonight. Is she here tonight from Iowa? Okay, Sairam, thank you. What was your name again?
Ramadevi.
So one at a time, it's like this. Please listen. So we'll need a microphone on the ladies' side. Okay, and we'll start with the gent, but you know, one at a time we're going to have you come up and speak. And you each have 5 minutes maximum, just okay, except for maybe the last speaker, which is a different story adjustment on that situation. So I would like to start by inviting Rajan from Chicago North Suburban Sai Center to come up here and share his experience.
Check. Sairam, my humble pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagavan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. I want to thank the Chicago Parthi team for giving us the opportunity to have this wonderful trip. And I want to share a couple of experiences from the trip. The experiences are on the topic, Swami is close by. Swami is full of love, and he's the best friend, and he's close by. And a couple of incidents that happened during the Parthi trip, I wanted to share it with you. When we went on this trip, we went through Delhi. So we landed in Delhi, and we were in the Delhi airport, and I was with my family, and the first thing we wanted to do was get some Indian rupees. So after we, you know, got our luggage, we went to one corner of the airport. It's a pretty big airport, you know, like a big football field, kind of a big one, if you remember seeing it. So when we went to one side of the airport, there was Thomas Cook. And when we were about to encash, we were told that they charge a commission. And there was a person told us, you know, if you go to State Bank of India, you know, they don't charge a commission. So after inquiring in Thomas Cook, we went to the other side of the building. It's quite a bit of a walk. And so I decided to use State Bank of India to encash the traveler's checks. So I stood in line, and my family was also waiting. As you know, the lines are long. It took a long time. So finally, when I encashed some of the traveler's checks, I realized that I had another envelope with traveler's checks. I couldn't find it. So we started, you know, I told my wife, we had some interesting discussions about where it could be, and we started searching all the handbags, and we were calm initially, but then the panic started building. You know, we couldn't find that other envelope. So this other envelope had some more traveler's checks, you know, which we definitely, you know, didn't want to lose. And So we searched all the bags, and we searched all, you know, many times, again and again. And so the panic really built up, and then we started praying to Swami, you know, help us find this envelope. So we start backtracking, you know, let's go back to where we came from. So we went back to the other side, the Thomas Cook side. And my wife was looking at the counter, there's a lot of empty forms and, you know, other forms. And there was the envelope, which I was looking for. And it took us, I mean, we were in the State Bank of India site for about 1.5 hours. So for 1.5 hours, this envelope was there with all the traveler's checks. It could have been, nobody touched it, nobody opened it, and it was Swami's grace. And I couldn't believe the feeling, as though we saw Swami there. You know, when we saw that envelope, we thought we found something, you know, which is so dear. I mean, we found something, and because of Swami, we found it. So we were so happy. And I can never forget that experience. And my family was, we were all so sad because we thought we lost it. Also, during this experience, I learned something, you know, I should listen to my wife more, because she, you know, she told me to keep things in the proper way, and I wasn't, you know, paying a lot of attention. And I'm losing my memory sometimes. So we are very thankful to Swami for finding that. And Swami's there close by. If you keep praying to him, he's there. He comes in different forms. He directs you. The other experience we had was during the Parthi trip, my son got diarrhea, and many, many parents went through this. And it was difficult time, and he was very sick. So I and my wife took turns to see Darshan. So one day morning, I stayed. You know, if I stay, then my wife goes. That's the plan we had. He was sick for about 2 days. So that morning when he was sick, it was my turn to stay. And then my wife went to the Darshan. So I was sitting next to my son, and he was taking rest. And then I was hearing the bhajans, you know, starting. Then I opened the windows more because I wanted to listen to the bhajans. All along I was thinking, you know, what was happening in Prasanthinilayam, you know, all the blessing people were getting, you know, Swami coming. And so I kept the door open, the breeze was flowing through, and I started hearing the bhajans. And I was missing that I wasn't there to be in that, in to see the bliss and to see Swami. So as I was missing, some inner voice told me, what you're looking for is there inside the room. It is there in your son. And, you know, you look at your son. And so I went back and I looked at him, and I felt that Swami was there. And it was just a small education Swami sends, you know, these signals. And then I attended to him more, and I started, and I was listening to the bhajans, and I was in bliss. And I really didn't, you know, from that point, I didn't really miss that. I missed that bhajan, and I was so happy that inner voice told me that Swami is there in the people you see, in the people you love, and he is close by. Om Sai Ram. Thank you.
Thank you, Raja. Now I'd like to invite Mary to come up and share her story from the Southeast Chicago Sai Center.
Sai Ram. Shortly after I retired from my job, I had the opportunity to live in Uganda for a little over two years. And before I left, what I did was to check to see if there was a Sai Baba center there. And there was one in Kampala. And then I was lucky when I got there that I was only about 35 minutes from the center. Okay, so I started going. And at the center, there was a couple there, an Indian couple that really befriended me. They had two sons, and a mother that was living with them. So after all of the meetings, either I would go to their house for dinner or they would take me out to a restaurant. So this particular evening, we went out to a restaurant, and so I said, I had a dream last night about Swami. So they were interested. So I told them the dream. In the dream, I was in a hall, really similar to something like this, and everyone was sitting on the floor. And I was sitting in the midst of people who had never seen Swami before. So I was staying there. Thank you. I stayed there so that I could point Swami out to the others when he came in. But it took such a long time for Swami to come. So I was gathering my things to leave. And just as I did this, Swami came in. And he came with a group of people, and he was talking to them. And he walked across the room, and he stood in the center, still talking to them. And he looked over, and he saw me, and he beckoned for me to come. Well, I didn't move, because I said, Swami never calls me for anything. So I know he's not calling me now, so I'm not going to go. And then I looked again, and he beckoned again for me to come. All right, so then I knew from within that Swami was calling me. So I went up, and he was still talking with the people that were there. And I was there, just standing there for a while, so I said, well, maybe I'll just go and touch his feet. And I did that, and I went back, and I sat in my original place. When I got back, Swami beckoned for me to come again. I walked up. And by the time I got there, Swami was sitting on a bench. And he touched the bench, and he told me to sit. And I sat. And I just felt, just very blissful sitting next to Swami. So the husband in this couple, when we were at the restaurant, I was telling them, the husband and the couple, husband said that this was a very, a lucky dream that I had. Because in this dream, I saw the divinity, I touched the divinity, and divinity spoke to me. And when I heard the interpretation of that, tears just welled up in my eyes. And, I was just very, very grateful for that experience and for him to explain it to me. So that is my experience. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary, for sharing that interesting story. You can hear there's such a diversity of experience with Swami. He connects with us in each unique way that's perfect for us. So going on to our next speaker, I'm inviting Jagan to come up and please talk to us about his experience with Sai from West Suburban Chicago Sai Center.
Thank you, Jeff. My humble pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Dear Sai elders, brothers, sisters, I would like to share my enlightening experience with you. In March this year, I was laid off. In my 20 years of experience, I was not jobless even for a day. I am on a work visa, so if I don't have a job, I cannot stay in United States. I was under a lot of turmoil and confusion, and I was demoralized. I had two options. Either I should get the job within 60 days, or I should leave the United States forever. So in that situation, my spouse conveyed to one of the Sai sisters about my job loss. And she came to our house immediately. She consoled my wife, and she advised us to have complete faith in Baba and hold on to him. The message of my job loss spread across the Sai Center, and all Sai sisters and brothers rendered immense moral support. With so much moral support, I was energized. I started posting my resume in all the websites. During this process, I came across Sri Satya Sai Chalisa, which was given to me by one of the Sai devotees in the Las Vegas Center. Four years ago, I had never read the Sai Chalisa, and I started reading it. At that moment, after reading the opening message of the book, I could not put down the book and continue to read the book till very end. I decided to transform myself by following the Sai values, which are assurances of Bhagawan Sri Satya Sai Baba with his divine protection to all his devotees. I surrendered to the Supreme Guru, started meditating and reading the Sai Chalisa every day from that day onwards. I put in all my effort in searching for jobs and also acquiring new software technologies. My job has a scarce demand as it has specialized field and as a niche market. On 25th day of reading the Sai Chalisa, a routine search for job, I found a requirement which matched my previous experience. I called the recruiter immediately and she said it was already filled in. However, you would like to send the resume, please send it. Within a half an hour, I get a call from her and then she said, oh, your resume looks perfect. So I'm organizing the interview the next day. So I get a call from the HR of the company. I was interviewed and then I passed through the interview and the next day she organized the meeting with the interview with the MD of the company. And then the MD of the company did not ask any questions. She was telling about the company and then the benefits the company is going to offer. And then after their discussion, she said, like, you know, you need to attend one more final interview with the VP of the company, and then it is a lunch on meeting, and then the next following day, I get a call from the VP of the company, and the meeting was scheduled, and I met the companies, because the company's headquarters is in Chicago. I go to the office. After the meeting, the VP of the company has handed over the envelope to me. To my surprise, when I opened the cover, I could see my appointment letter. In my entire career, I never got an appointment letter without attending an interview. This is the first appointment letter which I got without any interview. So when I opened this letter, I was surprised. I was so delighted. And with all my experience, what I learned is, I need to practice love at my home, and if I bring happiness at my home, I can bring happiness everywhere. That is my conclusion. Thank you.
Thank you, Jaga. And next, we're going to have Rama Devi, who's going to tell about her experiences from Iowa. Sairam.
Sairam. My humble pronouns to our beloved Mother Sai, Sairam brothers and sisters. Thank you so much, Swami, for giving me this opportunity to share this experience. To begin with, I have a quote from Swami's spiritual message. A thought ought to be, have a thought, you should hold on to the thought until you succeed. Either God should yield to your prayer or you should have a wholehearted intensity. You should pray with wholehearted intensity. That's a true path for spiritual achievement. So this is the message from Baba, which I received after coming back from Parthi. So I think this had a lot of meaning after when I read this, which correlated with my experience in Parthi. So our group darshan started actually for the pilgrimage. Our preparation for pilgrimage was a wonderful, wonderful experience. That's a big story, so I don't want to discuss that now. So each day it was like a real process which really purified us. And during our mini retreats, our brother Murali repeatedly told us, like, do not have any expectation, neither for presentation nor for an interview. So I never had any expectations to have anything, just to have darshan of Swami. So we were there for the first day of darshan. I had the opportunity to sit in the third row of darshan. So within my mind, some conversation was going on with Swami. I was just closely watching Swami. Then all of a sudden, I just called Swami. Then he's the next minute, he did like this, saying what? I was so thrilled. Oh my God, Swami's hearing. We all know that he's hearing. But to feel his in his presence, it was really bone-chilling for me. Then, so every day we had wonderful darshan. During our fourth darshan, I was like, Swami, no word of presentation. So after going there, we started having expectations, obviously. So no word of presentation, no interviews so far. Swami, why don't you bless us? This thought was just going on in my mind. The next second, Swami just turned to the lady's side and he just did like this. Oh my God, again Swami heard me. So I didn't stop there. So, okay, Swami is hearing me. Why don't you ask for something else? Then I started, Swami, I want to do Narayana Seva. So I was like chanting Gayatri. So every day like five ladies and five gents were picked up for Narayana Seva. So by Swami's grace, I got the opportunity to do Narayana Seva in the hospital on a Thursday. So I was so delighted and thankful to Swami. Then it didn't stop there. So, okay, again, Swami fulfilled my desire. So he's hearing my prayer. All of a sudden, this thought, I think he gave us the thought to pray for. So I had a thought, Swami, I need to touch your feet. I should have Pada Namaskar. Without that, I do not want to leave from Parthi. I don't know from where I got my thought. So having had that thought, I started praying very intensely because I don't know, you gave this thought, so I will pray for that. You are going to fulfill that. So I was chanting, like, I don't know, thousands and thousands of Gayatris. So every day we went for darshan, no word of interview or no presentation. July 4th morning, we had our bhajan presentation. So I got token number one. So I was literally jumping. Okay, today I'm going to get Pada Namaskar. So we were all sitting and Swami did not even come for darshan that day. I was, oh my God, Swami, why did you do this? Then July 4th evening, nothing happened. So that Saturday night, July 4th, I was not able to sleep. I was so restless. And actually, my sister-in-law, Sai Prasanna, she actually encouraged me to go for Omkar and Suprabhatam the next day. So Sunday morning, 3:30, I woke up. I went for Omkaram, Suprabhatam. Like, my mind was totally preoccupied. Swami, I'm going to leave tonight. So before that, I have to touch your feet. Without that, I don't want to leave. Sunday morning, we went for darshan. Nothing happened. So I just have one more darshan left. So for the Sunday afternoon darshan, that is the July 5th, which I'll never forget in my life. So we were lining up for darshan. So we were waiting there. I was just chanting Gayatri. And we were lining up just close, adjacent to Swami's house. Swami, you are my mother. Any mother will fulfill whatever the child earned for. So I am asking for your Pada Namaskar. Please give me. So we went inside and we didn't even know that we are going to have interviews. So we went inside and we sat and continuously chanting Gayatri, and all of a sudden one lady came and, how many ladies are here? So we counted and we said 36. Then, so we all did group Gayatri. All the ladies, we started doing silently group Gayatri. Something is going to happen. So whatever it is, we'll take it. So we were there and Bala uncle called us, come on, everybody. So we all went inside and I saw Swami sitting in the chair and I just looked at his feet. My God, it was so wonderful. And okay, it's going to be just a group interview. I don't know whether I'm going to touch his feet or not. I don't know. So I was just looking at his feet. Swami very gently did like this. Like take path namaskar. So I was thinking, like, the person who is just sitting in front row, they are going to get it. So I don't know whether I am going to get it or not. So the student nearby said, everybody can take Pada Namaskar. Oh my God. So I said, okay, we are going to get. So we touched his feet and got Pada Namaskar. So I thought, okay, all my prayers were answered. So I was so happy. After that, I was so thoughtless. So I was just chanting Gayatri and I was doing Samastaloka. I thought this is the best time to chant Samastaloka in his physical presence, especially in his close proximity. Then they decided to do a group picture with the gents' side and ladies' side. So the wheelchair was coming towards the ladies' side. And as soon as the wheelchair came closer to me, it just stopped. Then Swami was here and I was sitting like this here. And I just held his hand like this. I was holding his hand and said, thank you so much, Swami. Then Swami said, thank you for what? I said, thank you for your love and grace. In a very tender and sweet voice, Swami said, you are within me and I am within you. Why thank you? It was so amazing. So that is the intensity of the love, and that is the real mother's love I really felt that day. And I felt I got everything in my life. So I got Sparshan, Darshan, and Sambhashan during this this pilgrimage, which is a wonderful, wonderful experience. And thank you so much for everybody who arranged for this pilgrimage. I could never forget in my life. Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you, Ramadevi. Now, Sai Dewakar, please come speak to us from Detroit Metro, the regional YA coordinator, a representative, advisor.
Taken over from Jeff Lucas from the last term, right, Jeff? So thank you. My pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Swami. Saram to all of you. I would like to thank all the Parthi Pilgrimage coordinators, volunteers, and sevadals, and all the Metro Detroit Sai Centers who helped us in making this trip. Thank you very much. Without you, we wouldn't have made this Parthi trip, and of course, our beloved Swami. And one of the things, as the sister mentioned just now, about how Swami showered his love in physical form, and also even before we went to the trip to India, all the pre-Parthi trips, the mini retreats where we used to write letters to Swami and mailing them to Swami. And Swami kind of showered his grace right from day one. And I would like to share my experiences in a slightly different fashion. One is when we were there in Parthi, Swami, of course, gave us beautiful darshans. He took many letters, he took many offerings. And the beautiful interaction that we had with Swami, it's like marvelous. You can't even describe in words. But while this was going on, there was another aspect of the Parthi trip that we had. That's what I want to share right now. While we were there, there was a group from Godavari district that had come just for the pilgrimage. They came for 3 days. And while we were there on the first day, we could see all this, almost 1,000 people or more, sitting for Swami's darshan. And Swami would come and would bless them, bless us, give darshan. And then in the evening, they had a play by the children of the Godavari district area. And in the play, they showed a scene which happened in their own life. The Sai Seva Samiti in the Godavari district had gone to these rural areas to tell them about Swami and to do the service activities as directed by Swami. So they started the service projects and then showed one of the ladies, here is the picture of Swami. This Swami has told us to come and serve you. And the lady said, oh, we know him. And the sevadal was shocked, you know. This is a rural area where there's no road transportation. You have to climb about 5 kilometers in the hills. Swami has not physically gone in that area. And these people definitely would not have gone to Parthi. So she asked, how do you know Swami? And this lady said, oh, you know, Swami came. Here is our local grocery store. Here is a bench. Swami used to come and sit on this bench. And a few years back, Swami came and told us, in about 2 years, you'll have a water tank here. and here is the tap. I'm going to provide free water for you. And Swami said that, and it happened exactly that way. So when this Sevadal showed picture of Swami, some of the local people already knew about Swami. So this is something like a miracle that they have done. So it's this beautiful drama they enacted, how in the past 2 years, they had been transformed by the Sai Center service activities in this rural areas of Godavari district, and how they have come and done a play in front of Swami. So it's a very beautiful moving experience. And afterwards, some of us went and talked to the play script writer of the play, and he told us that these children in the play were not the regular school children or not the regular Balavikas children. They were actually Girijan children, the children who are illiterate. They don't have any schooling. They run in the hills. They don't sit stand. And he said they had to climb few hills, grab these children, train them, and make them come and do the play in front of Swami. To me, that was a transformation that it's very moving. You know, 2 years ago, these kids didn't know anything. They were in the hills running around. And 2 years later, in front of Bhagavan, they're doing a skit about how they got transformed. To me, that was a very, very moving experience. And then after the play was over, Swami didn't stop his grace right there. He let them sing a Ganesh bhajan. And the kids sang Ganesh Sharanam, Sharanam Ganesha. It's something many of you might know in the rural areas, in the streets. When small children, when we have no teachers really, we just learn it by listening to somebody, no particular tune. But they sang Ganesh Sharanam in front of Swami with no instruments. When they started singing, then the students started playing tabla and harmonium. So it was amazing to see Swami sitting there patiently listening to the Ganesh Sharanam. To me, that was very touching. How much love Swami must have for those children to bring them from the hills and let them sing Ganesh Sharanam in the most rudimentary fashion. No technical skills. These kids are not trained in any fashion. That was very moving, and Swami's grace doesn't end there. The next day, when they had a program where they invited all the village leaders that have been adopted by the Sai Seva Samitis to be granted gifts by the Sai Seva Samitis to these village leaders. It could be in the form of a rice mill or some other livelihood that would really improve the infrastructure and also provide livelihood for these villagers. So these were the service activities being done by the Seva Samitis, and they were going to give these gifts to the village leaders in the presence of Swami. So they were doing this. And then while this program was going on, Swami suddenly looks at the lady's side and asks one of the ladies, sing a song. And this lady has not been trained in any particular form of songs, music, or anything. She just sat there, had a mic in front of her. She, I believe, composed a song right on the spot and sang in the folklore song called as Dandalo Swami Dandalo. If you know Telugu, you know it's very, the song that comes from the heart. Most rural villages might sing the song. It doesn't have any high technology to it. And she composed the song, and Swami listened to it very beautifully. It was a very moving song. You could really hear the love she had in her heart for Swami. You could hear that. And then Swami, of course, responded to that. And then the song was over, and Swami created a chain. And this lady didn't even know that the chain was meant for her. She was just sitting there. Swami is sitting in the chair. He creates this chain, is waiting, and somebody is sitting next to her to tell, Swami has created the chain, go and get it. So she ran and got the chain from her, so from Swami. So it's just like we had this whole trip, and we can see this whole experience of Swami's love and between his devotees, apart from what he was doing, sharing with us as well. So my take on this whole trip was, like, I think Swami's love is very universal. It's not like depends on a particular place or a person or your educational qualifications or any worldly achievements. I think Swami just looks at your heart and he responds. And for those people who didn't even know about Swami, Swami called them to his presence, got them trained, and made them give a program. To me, that was like one of the touching experiences in the whole trip. Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you, Sai Dawaka. We've had some requests for more speakers, but I think our schedule, sorry, but our schedule's a little full. Unless people want to keep going, that's one possibility. But moving along to the next speaker, Marilyn from North Suburban Sai Center is going to share her experience with Swami.
Sai Ram, my humble pranams to our beloved Lord. Sai Ram, everyone. This is a story from about a year ago from Guru Purnima time. I like to move and I like to dance, and I've been, I like this panyarhythmy, which is like a universal harmony and rhythm. And I'm kind of scratching my head and saying, how do I plug this into the Sai organization and with my Sai family? And it's kind of like putting a square peg in a round hole or something. So, I had offered it at retreat half a dozen years ago or whatever. And it's oftentimes done in partner work. So there's parts of it you can do individually. It's kind of like Bulgarian Tai Chi, but it has challenges because gender separation or whatever, even though it's really beautiful, and the Om movement is speaks to my heart and is very reverent. And then I trotted it out to Esharama Day in 2008 and Indianapolis, and offered it again, and it was like ended up being with Group One at 4 o'clock after they'd been at Ashrama Day since 9 a.m. So it was a good unwinding activity before heading back to Bhajans, but it wasn't quite what I had anticipated. So I said, "Okay, Swami, I'm writing you a letter. How do I incorporate dance? Because it's one of the ways that I speak from the heart." So I wrote a letter and then sent it to someone who is going to a party for Guru Purnima in 2008. And within a week or 10 days, my husband and I and a couple friends went up to this botanic garden in Chicago area. And there was a African dance troupe there. David Grechet and his family, we call it Grechet Five. And they did some wonderful dances from Zimbabwe and some traditional dances and harvest dances and whatever. And then it got to be summer thunderstorm time. So at intermission, our friends left and my husband and I stayed on. And after intermission, they invited the audience to come and dance with them. And but we really were getting into the thunderstorm season, and it started lightning and raining, and we're out in this festival tent, and the rain's coming in sideways, and I'm saying, "Swami, you gotta protect these guys. They got the mics, now they have their guitars, and this instrument that looked a lot like a veena, electrified." He said, "They could get shocked. You know, so you got to protect them." And finally, the lady from the garden said, "We have to cut this program short because it's not safe." So they can do one more song. So this David gets up and said, "We're going to do two more songs. We're going to do a gospel song about the Jewish man who walked through the middle of the night to ask Jesus a question. And then they're going to do a second one, which was a more traditional dance from Zimbabwe, a dance of joy." And he put out the intent of peace and goodwill and troubles be over in Zimbabwe. And he re-invited people to get up and dance. So there's people up dancing by the band, and three or four members from the concert troupe also got up and danced. So I get up and I'm kind of hiding by this palm tree. I say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to dance." So then I just kind of close my eyes and just dance my heart out on behalf of peace and goodwill and troubles be over in Zimbabwe. And I just pictured the bringing down the energy of the peace and goodwill in the like triloka, both the causal, subtle, and physical level, and just sending it from USA to Zimbabwe across the water. When we got done dancing and they got done playing, I just felt like I was dancing, but no, I was being danced. And looked up and the sunset was coming through this thunderstorm, so it was gold tips on the treetops. And then someone said, hey, look, there's a rainbow. It was from one end of the horizon to the other. And the one end of it went straight down into the Carillon Bell Tower. It's like this icon for music at the tower. And underneath the rainbow, it was kind of a rich gold to navy. It was just this kind of dripping this gold color. But I was like shocked. It was like, oh, Swami heard our prayer. You know, it's like, Swami heard our prayer. So I'm kind of like babbling incoherently, and I'm going up to the band leader and said, very auspicious, very auspicious. But my heart was beating so fast that like we were speechless on the way home. It was like we were dancing on the mainland, and across the water was the island, the evening island that had the bell tower. So just as we were sending our prayers across the water to Zimbabwe, this vertical, well, it's a horizontal rainbow, but it ended like a pot of gold into the bell tower. And I think the takeaway for me was that God hears our prayers, our heartfelt prayers, whether they're sung or danced. And I remember last year at retreat, there was a skit about, singing's better or dancing's better. And the two siblings are arguing about it. Well, we'll make Swami appear, you know? So, or drop a rose or whatever. But it wasn't until they stopped competing with each other and the one played his tabla and was singing and the girl danced, and they danced and sang from their heart, that the in the skit, the rose dropped from the his picture. So I think for me, it's like Swami hears our prayers wherever we are, and whether we sing them or dance them, and to use the modalities that work for us. Sai Ram.
Next speaker, then we'll have one more. This is Tarek from Chicago.
Sai Ram, my humble pronouns, lotus feet of Bhagwan Sri Sasai Baba. I think July 5th evening, we went with Darshan Swami. I had opportunity, and I told him, Swami, I want to make one more CD. I said, Chayi. Chayi means in English, do it. I'm sorry. In Telugu, Chayi. In English, do it. And I asked him one more time, Swami, I want to make one more CD. Do it. And then he asked one more time, one more question. I want to donate my ancestral house. Swami, I said, Swami, I asked him two times, same question. He did not say yes or no. So that means I want to give my property to Swami Central Board Trust. So before I come to this Chicago, I made prepared everything. So now I'm waiting for Central Board Trust authorities approval. So then as soon as I came to from Puttaparthi, then I came back to Hyderabad. So I made a plan to make a CD. This is Sinile Sai Kada. So I made it in 21 days. It took only 21 days with Anup Jalota and Anuradha Padwal. I made a sketch myself, and this is Sirada Baba temple. And Baba is here. This is the original picture. And then finally we made, somebody told me, Swami needs Bottu. So here, and we changed this one a little bit. Now this CD will be releasing on September 28th. Baba Samadhi in Aurora. Please come, everybody. Please come there. This is the Baba miracle. This is first. This is the second CD. Sunile Sai Kada. It's my experience, and also I sang one song. Muralidhar mother told me before I die, please sing one Telugu song. I said, let me try, Emma. So as soon as I go to India, then I told lyric. He wrote in Hindi. In 10 minutes, we finished. So I hope as soon as all your, we need your compliments. So we are releasing this CD on September 28th. Monday, Baba Samadhi Day. Please come there. Thank you, Sairam.
Thank you. Last speaker for the evening, Dr. Kaushal. Did I get the name right? From Chicago Metro. He's going to share.
Sairam. My humble pranams to my beloved Sai Baba. Sairam, brothers and sisters. They asked me to narrate some of the experiences that I've had personally with Swami, as well as my family, over the last 30 years since we've known Swami. And these experiences with Swami have been both at a physical level, but also at a spiritual level. And what I'd like to narrate tonight is three vignettes, three stories, three experiences that I've had and my family's had with Swami. The first one I wanted to talk about goes back to the 1980s when I was in, actually in the transition period of going from high school to college. I went to a very good Phillips Exeter Academy as a prep school in Exeter, New Hampshire, and then I was preparing to go to college. And I want to talk about this experience because I want to talk about how Swami transformed me at a physical level. And then I'm going to talk about those other two experiences more at a spiritual level. So what happened? Well, we were our whole family was ready to go to see Swami. And my father had decided at the last moment to come a week later. So we our whole family was in India. And my father passed away on an airplane crash. This was very emotional to me. Our whole trip was to go see Swami. And I said to Swami in my heart, I said, Swami, why did you take my father? So we were in Punjab, we were in New Delhi, we were experiencing all the love that all my relatives were giving me. But no one could give you the love, the solace, and the guidance that Swami gave me. And I'd like to share that to you. So we had finished the rituals up in Punjab, and then we went to go see Swami. Oh, thank you. And we had planned that we will be there for a 2-week period. And we get there, and my mind is still troubling me. Why did Swami do this to me and to our family? So here we are in Darshan line, and Swami, for 2 weeks, talked to my brother and myself continuously. And he narrated and educated us about spirituality, about the physical transformation that you need to have with Swami, and also the spirituality part. So I'd like to first focus on the spiritual and the physical. So as I've mentioned to you, I was just a high school student transitioning to college. I was not a very good high school student. At best, I was a B, and most days I was a C student. And Swami said to me, he goes, what do you want? I go, Swami, I just want your love. He goes, no. Swami wants to give you something that will transform you from a B student to an A student. What did he show you at the moment when he said that to me? What he's showing to you, or showing to me, was that he knows everything at a subtle level. So I said, okay, Swami, but how are you gonna transform me? He goes, I'm gonna give you a golden pen. And you take every exam with that pen, and you will get A marks. I said, okay, Swami. I chuckled in my mind. I said, how can a pen transform someone? So here I was. The first interview, Swami told me about this. But then every interview, Swami would come to me and said, Swami, what do you want? I said, oh, Swami, I want a gold pen. Thinking that that is what Swami had given me. So he eventually gave me a golden pen. And in that pen, when he materialized it, he goes, write with it. And so I started writing with it. He goes, look, I filled it with ink. Even though I took it from the manufacturer place, I filled it with ink before I gave it to you. And then he said, every exam you take, you should take this pen and think that I'm there. So here I am in Parthi, thinking about this. So then I went to college, and I took all my exams with this pen. I went, and luckily, with Swami's grace, I got all A grades. But the message is not that the pen has something magical, or maybe it did, at a subtle level. But what it did to me was that it distilled into me the confidence, the clarity of being a very good student. And so I took all my marks, all my exams. My fellow colleagues, my fellow friends thought I was crazy. I'm filling up my pen with ink. You know, this is a Parker pen. So it's a fountain pen, so you have to fill it before your exams. They thought I was crazy why I was taking this stupid pen, or I don't know what they were thinking about me. But I took every exam, and I got A marks. And from going from a B student to an A student, my mom marveled at what happened to me. And then, with Swami's grace, good marks, I went to medical school at Johns Hopkins, which is one of the best in the States, and then I went to Harvard for my PhD. But Swami really is the one that transformed me into a student. I should also comment what happened to the pen. So here I was. I finished my exams in my college, every exam I took with that pen. And then in medical school, I took every exam with that pen again. But then what happened? My pen disappeared. So after my second year of medical school, as everyone is well aware, the first 2 years of medical school is where you take all your exams. After that, there's no more exams for medical students. There's also, of course, there's standardized tests, but those are all done with pencil. What happened to me was that in my third year of medical school, in my fourth year of medical school, I was going to my interviews, and my apartment caught on fire when I was away. In that fire, my pen disappeared. But the pen had given me all the love, had shown me the way to become a student and the confidence, I would have to say. And that's what was the most important part of the pen in my life. So that's just one physical transformation that Swami has done for me. I don't want to narrate any more about the physical, but I also want to narrate two more spiritual things that Swami has done. So then in the 1980s, when my father had passed away, my mother always doubted Swami. My mom thought that Swami was not God. In one of the interviews, Swami said, look, I'm going to show you my divinity. Over the years, I'll show you my divinity. We didn't understand that at that level. So here we were, every year, after the 1980s, we went to see Swami every year. So one time, I'm with my mother, my sister, and I'm sleeping in front of, we had a room. Swami gave us a room right in front of his mother. And so I would, you know, pray to Swami during the night, and we would sleep on the floor there. One night we're sleeping. All of a sudden, around 2 o'clock in the morning, my mom wakes up. She goes, Swami's at the door knocking with your father. I said, okay. I thought my mom was crazy. Okay, mom. So I got up too. I turned on all the lights, looked outside on the balcony. I didn't see anyone. But my mom said that the dream was so vivid, or the experience, she felt it was an experience, was so vivid that Swami was right there. So we went to the next morning for darshan. In those days, in the 1990s, there was sand in the mandir. It's very beautiful, still is very beautiful now. Swami came out, and I saw Swami talk to my mother, but I didn't know what he was saying. So I came back to the room, and my mother said, Swami has said, I came last night. I came with your father to give you guys darshan. Just think about what Swami had just said. Swami had physically had given us the darshan the night before. The next morning, Swami had confirmed that experience with us at a physical level. And that is spirituality, I think, and the transformation that happened to my mother after that event was spellbounding. She never doubted Swami after that. She goes, only God knows. And God can experience or make you experience these things. The last vignette, and I'm sorry, just 2 minutes more, is about my spirituality. So I was a young 18-year-old when all this events happened to my life. But I said, there's only one person I have, and that's Swami. Swami physically has guided me throughout my life. And everything I would ask from Swami, he would give. For example, I know that you should not have desires, but the desire that I had was always something physical with Swami. And I think only now I realize that you should have a more spiritual level of transformation that you should have. So what the physical thing Swami had done to me was, one trip I decided that I wanted a pendant. In the interview room, Swami gave me a pendant. For my wedding, I wanted a diamond ring. And I'd never disclosed anything to my wife, to my mother, or my siblings. In the interview room, Swami goes, huh, you want a wedding ring? Oh, you want a diamond ring too? I said, oh yes, Swami. In the last interview I had was 2 years ago. And I always wanted a sapphire ring. And Swami came up to me in the interview room and said, ah, this is the last ring that you want, a sapphire ring. And this is what he had materialized. But what does that mean to me? I mean, all these physical things that Swami was giving to me, he said to me, he goes, look, I've given everything physical to you, but the most important thing is my love. And I said to Swami, I said, Swami, how do we cultivate your love? Yes, you're giving me all these physical things and you're guiding me through my life, where I should go to do my residency, who I should marry, what type of doctor I should become. He said, the most important thing in spirituality is love for God. So then I said, Swami, how do I do this? He said, take one saying of mine, but follow it completely. So this was, 2 years ago? Then I started to reflect after what Swami had told me. I realized that in the 1980s, during that troubled period I had with so many physical things happening to me, Swami had told me, he goes, duty, discipline, and devotion to me. He said to my sister, he said, see good, be good, and do good. And to my brother, he said, don't be selfish. Don't be a fish, and don't be selfish. So each one of us, he had given us a spiritual gem. And when he said that to me in the interview 20 years later, I reflected back to what he had told me earlier, to take a particular part of Swami, but follow it completely. So tonight I've narrated some transformations that have occurred to me both at a physical level and also at a spiritual level. These experiences have made me closer to Swami, have made me a better person. And along this journey, I've realized that you can't be a bystander. You can't be a part-time devotee. And you have to be completely surrendered to Swami. And Swami will listen to your inner prayers and will cleanse you and make the journey so much more rewarding. Sayadaw.
Thank you, Dr. Kaushal. And thank you to all, thank you to Swami, and thank you to all of you who were brave to come up here and share your unique and different stories and inspire us, educate us. And sorry to those, I know there were more, I wish we had more time, maybe another retreat, okay? Sai Ram, good night to you all, and rest well and be fresh in the morning for another day of devotional spiritual activity.